Continuing the summary of the chapter Recapitulation in Science and Health from page 491. Gordon Brown.
We were thinking how man, being linked indissolubly with spirit, is not plugged into electricity or animal magnetism. And therefore, really, that personality in material sense has in that case yielded to individuality in science. So down that page to line 32, mortal man is the dream. The dreamer is the so-called psychic unconscious. 492.2. See, when Jehovah caused the deep unconscious sleep to fall upon Adam, the form the dream took was that man was mortal, divided into an Adam and an Eve, a positive wrong and a negative right, and resulting, therefore, in the Cain and Abel situation. But mind is simultaneously one and all, and this is the answer to the problem of corporeal sense or mortality. All that exists is one mind, namely mind knowing its own subjective state to be all spirit. Man never cut from God, never unlinked from God. Eve never cut from Adam. Mind never believing that matter is objective to it, and of whose workings mind itself is unconscious. This science of mind, line 24, denies the notion that mind and matter commingle in the human illusion as to sin, sickness, and death. The principle of the science of being, as taught by this chapter from beginning to end, and therefore by the whole book, is that because God is mind, all this in italics, and God is infinite, all is mind. All is one mind. Now, truth appears triumphant when it's no longer believed that there are two factors, matter and mind, uniting on some impossible basis. Such false knowledge obtained from the physical senses yields to science, to the immortal truth of all things. Lines 7 and 8. So now to the 22nd question and answer on page 493. Well, it would certainly seem that sickness has already been explained quite a lot, and that we've already been shown to quite an extent how it is to be healed. But the purpose of question and answer 22, it seems, extends the explanation in order to make sure that it is truly universal. It's full of the idea of it being universal? This 22nd question and answer. And the first paragraph there refers us back to the practice chapter, and also, by implication, to the teaching chapter. Chapters 12 and 13, showing the essential relationship between the two. Because having the two working together as one means that on line 15, the healer demonstrates and proves for himself. He demonstrates and proves for himself the principle and rule of Christian Science. It's mortal mind's own fear which manifests itself and which it experiences on its body as disease. Says the text there, line 21. Healing, even to the point of raising the dead, as demonstrated by Jesus, is simply the mind of Christ, says the text, improving on a false sense. 929. Remember in question and answer 19 how Earth's preparatory school has to be improved to the utmost. That is to say, to the point where death itself is finally overcome. And so the third paragraph in this 22nd question and answer shows Jesus not only raising Lazarus, as it were, objectively from the dead, but afterwards being able to prove the same thing for himself subjectively. For in the Gospel, Lazarus lay in the grave 4 days, didn't he? And Jesus 3 days. Signifying, don't you think, that the total overcoming of death, both objectively and subjectively by the one Christ mind, is according to the order in the next chapter, Genesis, of the 7 timeless days of creation. Because as the text would tell us there, these days reveal eternity, newness of life. Therefore, they raise humanity from the dead. The eye of Jesus is the one Christ mind. That's his ego. Destroy this temple body, and in 3 days I, mind, will raise it up. And as we remember, temple from the root tempus, meaning time. And the reason for it is because mind holds its own body, man, forever intact in its perfect state. That's on 494.1, and governs its entire action. Think of it, mind holding its own embodiment forever intact in its perfect state and governing its entire action. You see, what is this Christ mind really doing, if we could only see it? It's raising the body of tired humanity from the dead. So tired that in due course there isn't going to be any evidence of life left at all, and what will seem to be there is a corpse. But this using up of life through the belief of personally possessing a little part of life, is all a dream, an illusion, from which humanity needs to be awakened. Life is love. And love, in the marginal heading on line 7, is inexhaustible. Well, how then can humanity ever really be tired to the point of death? So what Jesus was doing was pointing the way, not for himself, but for mortals, on line 9. Divine love was so faithfully manifest in and as Jesus that he was able to show divine love as always, irrespective of time, place, or particular people, meeting every human need. We've got to do the same. To all mankind and in every hour, divine love supplies all good. Now, this is grace that is miraculous to human sense, but to love itself in divine science, it isn't miraculous, it's just natural and reasonable. See the marginal heading there, reason and science. Grace, humanly speaking, would seem to be that degree of gratitude which accepts the presence of God before the sense evidence to the contrary changes. Not waiting for the evidence to change and then being grateful. In other words, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. Even while Lazarus seems to the senses to be lying there dead in the tomb. Gracious acceptance now of the science of man's eternal harmony. That is to say, of the unbroken reality of scientific being. Line 24. This puts into expression the love that meets every human need. Its maternal lap as truth, line 28, piled high with immortal fruits. Well, as we come to 495 at the top, Jesus' followers, of course, are those who follow, who understand step by step his scientific reasoning, and therefore cast all evil out of themselves and others and heal the sick irrespective of time. Nothing to do with time, space, history, geography, or groups of people. It's all idea, principle, science. And this means that the power of truth, unbreakable truth on line 11, is life-giving. It gives life harmonious as that which life, life harmonious, uncapitalized, as that which life, capitalized, eternally, timelessly is. And therefore destroying what life is not. Well, naturally, if we follow, understand Christ's truth in this way, we shall see in question and answer 23 how to progress most rapidly in the understanding of Christian science. It is to study thoroughly. That means throughly, through to completion. The letter, and at the same time, imbibe the spirit. Letter and spirit one, in accordance with that infallible platform. Simultaneously, the bread and the wine, the flesh and the blood of the one Christ body. The letter and spirit of the one Christian Science system. At the moment of the Passover from death to life, Jesus says, take, eat. This is my body. Humanity, be my deathless body. Take the cup and all drink of it. The wine of the Spirit makes the bread of the letter acceptable and digestible. Or if you like, from John chapter 5, same thing. Who eateth my flesh, letter, and drinketh, imbibeth my blood, the living spirit, hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. So it's a question of the Eucharistic elements, the scientific rudiments or fundamentals that make for our spiritual growth, growth in having as our mind, the body's own mind, one ever-present, omnipotent mind that governs the entire universe. No less. For what it all resolves into is obeying God, having this one mind and loving another, one other, God's one idea man in the generic sense, as yourself. Therefore, study thoroughly the letter. Learn that life capitalized is God. Imbibe the Spirit. Live the life uncapitalized that approaches the supreme good. Demonstrate the healing power of truth and love. Unbreakable truth that is therefore inexhaustible love. Certainly not inexhaustible if it were breakable. Now, as this takes place according to the fundamental order of the 7 days of creation in the next chapter, as indeed it did in the case of Jesus, whom we are now following, that is to say, understanding, in that case, the way will grow brighter. Line 13, unto the perfect seventh day. And you can see how our thought at this point is reaching forward into the Genesis chapter, isn't it? But at the same time, the thought to be held perpetually, says the text, is that it is the spiritual idea, line 15, and it's the spiritual idea which features so strongly in the Apocalypse, isn't it? The spiritual idea which is the Holy Ghost and Christ, which heals infallibly, that is to say, with scientific certainty. Now, why? Why does it do this? Because its principle, whose letter we understand, is love, whose spirit we imbibe. Underlying, overlying, and encompassing all true being. Line 19. The Holy Ghost and Christ. Holy Ghost, the divine identity, the diversity in unity of the whole human race. That which overshadows the woman in the apocalypse, that with which she is in communion, that with which she identifies herself as she bears and births the idea of her own indivisible oneness and wholeness as Christ. There we find our thought reaching out into the Apocalypse chapter also. And the purpose of it all. In the margin, line 22, triumph over death. The bringing to birth of man sinless, deathless, resurrection body, as indicated by the last paragraph. This is how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians, part of it being quoted there at the end of the paragraph. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. That's the seventh trumpet, corresponding to the seventh day of creation. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Well then, let's be members of this resurrection body. Not to join some outside body, some organized church, but be the one Christ body whose members have never been torn organically asunder so that they have got to get themselves joined together again. Let's be members of the one mother body of mankind, the Church universal and triumphant, the holy four-square matrix city of Revelation 21, of which the Mother Church, as founded by Mrs. Eddy, was a prefiguring teaching symbol. Designed according to its manual to reflect in some degree the Church universal and triumphant. That is to say, the holy spiritual structure of truth and love, as Church is defined in the glossary.